I didn't need any water. I just wanted to see if pastor's water tastes any better than mine. I think it's a little different. I can feel a bad dad joke coming on. Good morning, beautiful people. It's great to be here behind this pulpit and have the chance to share some things that the Lord has laid on my heart. I want to let you know that I take it very seriously being up here. It's an honor and a privilege. I want to let you know also that I did take the time necessary and sought the Lord for his will up here. I know you didn't come to hear me. You came to hear from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And this is what the Lord has laid on my heart. Speaking of hearts, yesterday I picked up some Little Caesar's pizza and brought it home. Did I not? Brenda said, "Thank you, dear." I replied, "My pleasure, sweetie. I love you with every pizza my heart." That must have touched her happy feelings because she then told me that I'm the aorta to her heart. I answered, "That's vain, baby." Let's just say her happy feelings disappeared after that. I was back in the doghouse. Well, as you can see, Pastor Riggs isn't here this morning. He asked me on Thursday if I could preach for him, and I was thrilled that he asked me and happy to do it. I truly love this church family, and it's an absolute honor to get to preach here. This morning's message has four parts to it, and each part starts with the letters C-O. No particular reason except I wanted to be cool. Get it? C-O-O. Part one is the cover, which is just my cover page or introduction. In part two, I'll show a contrast. So cover, contrast. Part three will be my conclusion. Now you might be wondering, what could possibly come after the conclusion? Because I have a fourth part. It starts with C-O. Well, it's what comes after every preacher's conclusion in this church. Comida. For those of you looking lost right now, comida is a Spanish word for food. We leave and go get lunch. I think today Dave Dillon is buying for everyone. I'm just kidding. I think it's actually Ron Harris. Before digging into some scriptures, I'd like to share with you that I view eschatology, or the study of end times prophecy, as similar to putting our ear to the train track to find out if the train we're waiting for is getting close. Instead of a train track, we put our spiritual ears to the Bible and study end times prophecies. Why do we do that? For two main reasons. Number one, it can strengthen our faith. Number two, it can increase our excitement for the soon coming day of Christ, also known as the rapture. We'll see that in just a minute. Now let's get into today's message that I titled, How to Live in Exciting but Perilous Times. How to live in exciting but perilous times. Excuse me if I sniffle now and then. I can't help it. My wife told me already, don't go doing that up there. Sorry. Our first verse to look at will be a verse that I shared in our men's class recently. It's John 14:29. If you want to turn there, I'll give you a moment to turn there. John 14:29. Can y'all hear me okay? Yes. Hopefully you can hear me good, minus the sniffles. John 14:29. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he said, "And now I have told you before it come to pass that when it is come to pass, you might believe." Jesus was speaking to his disciples in that verse, and it shows very clearly that what Jesus foretold or prophesied to his followers was for their belief or faith in him to grow stronger. God is interested in our faith being strong and growing. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We generally think of the Bible when we read that verse, but Jesus was and is the living word of God. So hearing Jesus increases our faith. But Jesus doesn't stop at hearing. He gave us all kinds of evidence that he can be trusted 100% of the time. The Bible is filled with prophecies that have come true already. Those prophecies are what separates the Bible from any other book on this planet. God is bold with his declarations before they come to pass, because he controls every single outcome. He controls every single outcome, whether we see it or not, whether we believe it or not. No other book on the planet contains prophecies that have come true 100% of the time, because only God is omniscient, which means all-knowing. Now let's look at 2 Timothy 4:8. 2 Timothy 4:8, if you want to turn there. Or you can read it up on the screen. 2 Timothy 4:8. Now this is the excitement part. Excitement about how the prophecies of God can help us be excited in the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Now that is exciting. How would you like for the God of this universe to give you a crown of righteousness? I mean, what greater honor is there other than being the bride of Jesus Christ, of course, which is the greatest honor of all? Okay, I've shown you how prophecies can build our faith and also get us really excited about the Lord's return for us at the pre-tribulation rapture. Watching Bible prophecies come to pass in our generation, like Israel becoming a nation again in 1948, just as God's word said would happen, is super exciting and has greatly strengthened my own faith. I mean, look at, I've told many people, do you want to see a miracle? Would that help you believe in God? You want to see a miracle? Look at Israel. Look at Israel. The whole nation of Israel was destroyed. All the people were dispersed throughout the nations. No other nation has that happened to, where they were so destroyed, so sent out, everything was gone, and God bring them back, just like his word said would happen. God has fulfilled prophecy, and he continues to fulfill prophecy to this day, and he will fulfill everything he promised in his word. Now that was my cover or introduction. Now I'm going to show you a contrast, because that was pretty exciting. Good stuff. The contrast, though, not so much. It's not great stuff. In fact, it's the opposite. But hang in there with me. Y'all with me on this ride? All right. Then meet me at 2 Timothy 3. Verses 1 through 5. Meet me at 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. This gets a little bit heavier here. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. After reading that, would you say we're in the last days? By looking at recent and current events around the world, would you say we're living in perilous times? Now, we don't feel it as much maybe here in America as a lot of other nations are feeling it right now. I would say a big yes to both. Look down a few verses from there and you'll see. We're going to go to 2 Timothy 3:13. 2 Timothy 3:13, which says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Have you witnessed that over your lifetime? Do you witness that today? I have. I see it going on. We're being lied to and deceived. I mean, through the media and people that are currently our leaders. We're being told a lot of things that just aren't true. Let's go to Matthew 24. Verses 37 through 39. Matthew 24, 37 through 39. Jesus is speaking again. He said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Most of us are familiar with that passage, but let's dig a little more and go back to that day. Genesis chapter 6. If you're going backwards, it's after Revelation. Or on a Rolodex. Genesis chapter 6, verses 11. Well, verse 11. Genesis 6, verse 11. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Would you say the earth is corrupt today? Do we have a lot of corruption going on in from the leaders of the nations? I would say yes. Have you been watching what's been going on at the United Nations and how they treat Israel compared to how they treat actual terrorists? Have you noticed that? Not just the UN, though. It's also coming from our own country, which is part of the UN, but people we wouldn't maybe expect it from, because Israel's supposed to be our ally, right? It's also coming from our own country, from current leaders. Our government has been sanctioning Israeli settlers and even some IDF soldiers, Israeli soldiers, who are fighting to defend Israel from terrorists. Imagine that. So the terrorists got to go plunder and rape and cut off babies' heads, and Israel gets treated with sanctions. And Israel asks our leaders here in America for help. They ask for ammunition, more ammunition. They're using a lot of ammunition to defend and protect their land, their people. But lately, we've been seeing that being pulled back. Our leaders saying, no, we're not going to give you the ammunition you're asking for. We're not going to sell it to you. Isn't that strange? Israel's supposed to be our ally, aren't they? And we as Christians, we're supposed to pray for and bless Israel. And it's a sad day. It's a sad day when I see our leaders willing to help terrorists but refuse help to our ally, our best ally in the Middle East. That vexes my spirit. Let's go to 2 Peter 2, verses 4 through 8. 2 Peter 2, 4 through 8. It says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample or example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now we know that Lot wasn't a perfect man, but the fact is that God saw him as righteous in his eyes, which makes me think Abraham, whose name means father of many, is a type of Christ, and Lot, which means a large number, is a type of the church. Think about it. Our righteousness didn't come from us. Anyone in here have self-righteousness? No. We're all saved by the grace of God, right? Amen? It's His righteousness, not our own. And Lot didn't have the righteousness really in and of himself, but God saw him with eyes of righteousness. God had grace upon Lot. Was it due to Abraham? I believe it was. All right, so we get saved when we put our trust, when we repent of our sins and put our trust in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I digress. The fact is that Lot's soul was vexed because he saw and heard their filthy conversations and unlawful deeds. Is that going on today? Is your spirit ever vexed from what you see or hear going on in our world? I've shared in my men's class that if your soul is never vexed in our current world, there's something wrong with you. If you're a Christian. If you're a lost person and you've never received Christ, I don't expect you to understand these things. I don't expect you to vex your soul and just be upset. You know what vexation means, or being vexed? It's frustrated to a great degree or annoyed to a great degree. We should all be frustrated and annoyed sometimes. Never at your husband, though. One last passage to finish our contrast. Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5, 20 through 24. We're digging into the heart of this now, into the contrast. This isn't exciting stuff. But it's reality. Isaiah 5, 20 through 24. It says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Now jump down to verse 23. "Which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." Powerful. Our world today is the definition of evil being called good and good being called evil. Abortion isn't called murder these days. It's called family planning and health care. How is murder considered health care? Those who peacefully try to change pregnant women's minds at abortion clinics are now receiving years in prison. While those who beat up or kill police are getting released on bail or even freed without bail in no bail states. States that have no bail. Oh, I can get worked up over this, don't you? I could go on and on, but we all know how things are these days. The question is, how do we live in these perilous times? Well, that question brings to me my conclusion. And it's all found in Psalm 37, if you want to turn there with me. Psalm 37. I'm going to read Psalm 37. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 20. Psalm 37, verse 1. Verse 20. Better get rid of my sniffles. Here we go. Some help is on the way for us. We're living in exciting times. Prophecies are being fulfilled. We see what's going on in the world. We can sense that the Lord's return is approaching. It's exciting times. I love to read the scriptures, the prophecies that talk about the Lord's return and compare it to what's going on, current events in our world today. I love doing that. It excites me. It builds my faith every time I see something fulfilled that God says will happen. It excites me. I love it. And I love talking about it with people. At the same time, we have a contrast. We see in the world today that although the Lord is coming, perilous times are there as well. But Psalm 37, starting verse 1, says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Fret not thyself because of evildoers. So when I get worked up and I get vexed, I can go to the Psalms. God's word has the answer. But sometimes I do forget. Sometimes, you know, I get pretty annoyed and frustrated about the things that I see, and it angers me, and I think that's good. I think it's good that, you know, there's a time to be angry. And that's good, but I can't stay there. I don't think God wants any of us to stay there. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I'm going to stop there for a moment. Love that verse. I have it up at work. You know, at work we have a bulletin board in the teacher's workroom, and they told all of us, in the beginning of the school year, they asked all of us teachers, go ahead, and even administrators, pick your verse for this year. Pick a verse and put it up on the bulletin board, and they gave us all this thing to write it. Put your name and put your verse. Psalm 37:4 is up there with my name. I love it. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know what this tells me? You don't have to be afraid or shy about it, getting excited in God. Amen? You can shout hallelujah. You can sing loud in church. You can be happy to pass out a tract. You don't have to be afraid in this world that rejects God. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Let people see the shine of Christ in your life. Don't be shy about it. There's a song that I love. Oh, it's something about heart of mine, don't hold back. Don't be quiet now. Don't be shy now. I forget the exact words, but I love the meaning behind that. Oh, heart of mine, don't you be afraid. Don't you be still. Don't you be shy and quiet. Get up and praise the Lord. Right? Isn't he worthy of it? Oh, man, he's so worthy of it. God is so good. Delight thyself also in the Lord. I love to delight myself in the Lord. Because God is good. He's so good. I could camp out there on that verse, but I think you all want your comida. The next word, guess what it is? A CO word. Commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. This is what we do in our day today. Perilous times, exciting times. We commit our way unto the Lord. We trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Aren't you glad that you can rest in the Lord? In this troubling, perilous time, sleep is sweet when you can just, when you have your conscience is right with God, right? I've heard it said that the softest pillow is a clean conscience. Isn't that good? I love that. Wish I'd have made it up. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Why? Because of the man who bringeth the wicked devices to pass? No, we don't stop fretting because of the wicked man. We stop fretting because God is good. Wouldn't you say God is good? Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. You know, all this vexation of spirit, you know, when we see these annoying things and frustrating things, we could get really angry. We could go out, you know, in the streets and just, you know, yell at people. What are you doing, you crazy people? But God says no. He says cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For why? For evildoers shall be what? Cut off. They're going to be cut off. Now, I don't rejoice in them being cut off. I hope to God they repent and get saved. But those who refuse and reject Christ, it's a fact, are going to be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, my beloved brethren, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Don't you like peace? You ever had a troubled heart? When you're really troubled and you just don't have peace? Oh, I've been there. It's not fun. You ever been there and you just can't sleep at night and you feel like, I should be sleeping now? I've been there. I've had insomnia. I've had times when, now I sleep like a baby, praise God. I thank God for that. It's great to sleep, you know, and have good restful sleep. But I've had periods of time where I couldn't sleep. It was just, you know, a horrible time. I didn't have peace. And sometimes I believe God puts us through that to wake us up to some things. You know, to teach us some lessons. To get our eyes off of ourselves and put them on other people and other needs of people around us. Sometimes it's discipline. Sometimes God just wants us to remind us who He is and how important it is that we draw nigh to Him, rely on Him, and depend on Him. Because every moment of every hour, we need Him. Amen? Abundance of peace. Verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Have you noticed at the United Nations, I guess I'm picking on the United Nations now, but have you noticed how they just continually rail against Israel? And obviously, they hate us Christians too. But they rail and rail and rail against Israel. No matter what Israel does, no matter how hard they try, they can't get a break there. Because the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. But the Lord, verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow. Guess what? They started this. You know what? Hamas is doing a lot of crying about, well, ceasefire. Why don't it stop, you know? You know what? Hamas, you started this. On October 6th of last year, didn't have a problem. Israel wasn't coming after you. They started this. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. How'd you like to have, you know, Israel, the IDF has gone into a lot of these terror tunnels. You know, a lot of things they have found there. Tons of cash. Cash from all different countries. Loads and loads of cash and all kinds of things that, you know, have value. They found, you know, they're getting money poured into them from nations all around. And I believe it's money laundering. They're getting it from our country and other countries, get sent into so-called, you know, helping aid agencies. They're supposed to be helping people. But no, the money goes into them and they pour millions, if not billions, into terror tunnels. Instead, they could be building up real nice hospitals, but no, the hospitals are just put so they can hide behind patients in hospitals and attack Israelis. But how would you like to have all the money that the Hamas soldiers had in those terror tunnels? Would it be of much value to you? A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Amen? For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. God's going to take care of us. You know, there's a lot of, you've heard it and seen it maybe on YouTube, the preppers, they're, you know, warn everybody, prep, buy all your food, build a storage, but, you know, build these cellars and spend all your money preparing because the end of the world is here. And They can see it themselves. And most of these are not Christians. At least many of them are not Christians. And I'm not against some preparation for things and having some extra food aside for things that you never know what might happen. I'm not against any of that. Preparing is wise. But there's a limit. You know, I'm not sitting here in fear that God is not going to provide for my needs. I'm not sitting here living in fear that the end of the world is approaching. I'm not. And if you are, you can get rid of that fear by putting your trust in Jesus Christ. And if you've never done that, you can do that today. And I'll present that in a little bit. But they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Isn't that sweet? But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. Now, before we get to comida, let me slip in one more C-O word. That word is commission. From the Great Commission, we were given to lead people to salvation through Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anyone in here today that has never received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? Please raise your hand if you'd like to ask Jesus Christ into your heart and be saved right now. Time is running out for this lost and condemned world. Isaiah 55, 6 through 7 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." God is ready to abundantly pardon and graciously save your soul if you're willing. I'll ask again, is there anyone in here this morning that has never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Please raise your hand and I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. Looks like nobody at this time. I'm going to pray now to close this out. Dear Heavenly